This is the story of two friends. This is gonna make a great story.
It's not polite to interrupt a bard when she's relating a heroic tale.
You're a good storyteller.
Well, hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 16 of Xena Fanfiction Podcast. My name is Amy Boatman, and I am your host. I'm really glad y'all are joining me. I have the last part three of Beyond the Rain by Nut56 to read for you tonight. I'm very excited to see how this story turns out. Although, well, you know, I do know since I read it, but it'll be fun to get there with all of y'all. If you listened to XenaCast last Sunday, you would know that my partner Rhonda's computer that I use to make the podcasts died, just up and bit the dust. Don't have any idea why. So last week I had to record the XenaCast on my little 7-8-year-old laptop, and it didn't sound very good. So this week, Rhonda's got a brand new spiffy little HP. It's actually not little, it's huge. It's got this big wide screen on it. Anyway, so we'll see how the sound quality is recording on this machine. It should be pretty good considering that it's new and all that, but we'll see. Hopefully it's going to sound good. I'm actually excited that Rhonda got a new computer. It's all pretty and it's got lots of bells and whistles and it's all very nice. So anyway, we'll see how that turns out. I would like to, as always, thank everybody for the wonderful email. If you'd like to send me an email, it is xenacast@gmail.com. The website is xenafanfictionpodcast.com, and the main website for everything I'm doing is xenacast.com, so go check out one of those .coms. Also, go over and check out amyboatman.com, and there's a great big link right on the front page that will take you to the donation page for my breast cancer 3-day. As I'm sure you all know by now, I'm doing a 3-day 60-mile walk to raise money for breast cancer research. So trot on over there and please donate what you can. Every little bit helps. I have to raise $2,200 and I only have a small drop in the bucket. So I need everybody to go over there and donate some money. It's for a great cause, breast cancer research. Susan G. Komen Foundation is the benefactor. Go on over there and check that out. AmyBoatman.com. I'll have a link in my show notes. And this is kind of like that PBS telefundraiser thing. As soon as I get enough money, I will quit talking about it. But until then, I'm going to continue to bug all y'all until it works. So go on over there and donate what you can. I'd also like to give a great big shout out to April over at the Supercuts on Anderson Lane in Austin, Texas. I'm pretty positive that she's not listening to this podcast, but that's okay because I just want to send a big shout out to the universe to her because she saved my hair. I had this little idea that I wanted to have purple hair, so I dyed my hair purple. And it looked really cute, actually. I think the purple was really neat. And then I thought, well, hey, if this looks good, maybe bleaching it will look good. So I bleached it myself. Kids, do not try that at home. Bleaching your hair yourself when you have no idea what you're doing is a very bad idea. So don't do it. My hair turned out orange and pink and blonde and gray and brown, and it was horrific. It was really, really bad. So I show up at April's doorstep on Thursday morning and I'm like, can you please help me? And she did. So now it's back to being brown and I'm very happy with it and I'm not going to mess with it ever again. But I really want to thank April at the Supercuts on Anderson Lane. When last we left the story, Gabrielle and Xena had been in the prison. Xena had gotten captured on purpose so that she could get to Gabrielle and find a way out. So one day while they were there, they were both raped. And then they didn't see each other for a very long time. They were split up. And then they did finally manage to get back together, only to find themselves in the death chamber because they were going to be executed the next day. Because of Xena being able to help the jailer and keep him from dying, he agreed to let them go. So they left. And they did manage to get back to the mainland. And then they discovered that Gabrielle was pregnant. So after a lot of soul searching, Xena finally decided that she was okay with the fact that Gabrielle wanted to keep the baby. So the last time we left them, they were on their way to Potidea so that Gabrielle could have the baby there with her family. A disclaimer for this is that it does deal with some dark themes. There is a lot of angst coming up. If the dark themes in the story so far haven't turned you off, then I'm pretty sure that the dark themes in this part are not going to turn you off either. But I just want you to know there's some heavy stuff up ahead. One more addition to the disclaimer. There is singing in this podcast. There is a little song near the end, and I actually do sing it, and I can't sing. But it didn't sound right if I didn't sing it. It sounded kind of funny. It sounded even worse when I just said it as opposed to when I sang it. So please bear with me for the singing. I apologize. I know that I don't even begin to do Xena's voice justice, but trust me in that it sounded better with me singing it than it did with me speaking it. So just to let you know, there is going to be a little horrendous singing at the end of the story. Beyond the Rain by Nut 56, Part 3. They traveled at a leisurely pace, knowing there was plenty of time, and stopped off at some of their favorite spots, lakes and glades and valleys. Their attention focused on Gabrielle, her physical and emotional changes, her excitements and anxieties, and the jail was conveniently forgotten, pushed to the back of their minds. The tiredness passed, but was replaced with persistent nausea. Gabrielle coped with reasonably good humor, but got grumpy sometimes, and Xena felt for her. "You'll live," she assured one morning when the sickness had gone on all night unabated. "Everyone does." Gabrielle lay on her side, feeling sweaty and limp, and rubbed her head on her outstretched arm. "Poor Gabrielle." Sympathetic but amused, Xena knelt by her. It was a beautiful spot, lush with the coming of spring, and she could feel dew on her legs. "Why don't you use that pressure point I showed you, She had been down to the stream and wrung out a cloth she had washed there. Folding it into a long strip, she placed it on Gabrielle's forehead to cool her. "Oh." Weary and miserable, Gabrielle heaved her arms from under her head and the heavy gray blanket and half-heartedly jabbed at vaguely the right area on her wrist. "Not working," she reported. Her skin was a little pale and waxy, and dark circles had formed under her eyes. "Not working," Xena nodded in acknowledgement of this, smiling. "You do it?" She let her arm flop onto Xena's knees. "All right." Xena supported Gabrielle's forearm in her lap, gently uncurled her fingers to hold them, and tapped two fingers against the hollow of her slender wrist. "There, how's that?" "It makes life bearable." Gabrielle blindly felt for the cloth and repositioned it on her brow. Not wanting to laugh and appear unfeeling, Xena took to rubbing her hand up and down the cool arm, pulling the small fingers against her belly. "How's the stomach?" "It's sitting somewhere around my throat," Gabrielle reported. "Well, try this. It should help." Leaving the arm on her knees, Xena untied a palm-sized cloth bag and took from it a shiny, irregular golden lump. "Open your mouth." Gentle, she held the lump to her partner's lips. Slowly. She watched Gabrielle lick it, then nibble a small piece off. "That's good." The smaller woman licked her lips, then opened her eyes and frowned. "Is this Argo's ginger?" "Yes," Xena admitted reluctantly. "But she won't mind sharing." "That's a comfort." Gabrielle gave in to the tiredness and closed her eyes again, but she continued to take what Xena gave her, until she had eaten the lump, and instead licked Xena's fingers, drawing the tips into her mouth. Gabrielle's lips were a little cracked from being dry, and Xena reminded herself that she must encourage her to drink. Nonetheless, they were still their usual fair shade of pink, and were soft and tender to kiss, even if their kisses were largely platonic these days. "Better?" Xena stroked back lank blonde hair, repositioning it over Gabrielle's shoulder. "You warm enough?" These last few months, the compulsion to protect and care for Gabrielle had intensified. She didn't want to be far from her, and liked her to be warm and well-fed. I'm great." A small smile lit Gabrielle's face, making her look immediately beautiful and more comfortable. "You are." Xena bent over to kiss and scratch Gabrielle's head, then let her sleep. The sickness did continue for a time, but Xena knew it was well and truly over when Gabrielle developed a taste for overripe orange berries with soft goat's cheese, seeking out her delicacy with a frequency that bordered on obsession. The next problem that they had to contend with was backache. Gabrielle's from the increased weight she was carrying, and Zena's from trying to find a sleeping position that accommodated her partner. Sometimes walking would help, sometimes it would make it worse. Sometimes Gabrielle wanted to rest, sometimes she couldn't sleep. What always eased the ache was a good swim. Summer was coming around again, with longer days and shorter nights on the horizon, and the waters of Greece's lakes and rivers had warmed to a comfortable level. Gabrielle wriggled her toes in the sand and splashed water over herself, pushing back her hair. "Zena, come and feel this, quickly!" Hearing her, Zena surfaced and stood waist-deep in the lake, blinking water from her eyes. "What?" "I can feel him moving." Gabrielle was full of excitement, her round cheeks reddened from her swim. "Here, give me your hand." She reached for Zena's hand and spread the long fingers over her belly, pressing them lovingly to her bare skin. "Can you feel it? He's kicking." She laughed infectiously, and Zena had to nod and smile, her enthusiasm compelling. "He's kicking, all right." They stood in silence for a while, Gabrielle smiling contentedly and looking down at her abdomen. She held Zena's hands and moved them occasionally, wanting them both to share in and enjoy the moment. Visibly well into the pregnancy now, she had developed a layer of puppy fat all over. Her face was more rounded and her arms and legs bulkier. Her skin was clear, her eyes bright, and Zena was sure her hair had lightened and softened a little. She even had a slightly altered fragrance, which only Zena would have noticed. Her skin had a fresher, more flowery smell. Her friend thought her to be incredibly beautiful. Her body was always warm under Zena's fingers, her temperature always up a little, and in sleep she was quiet and soft. "You still think it's a boy?" Making conversation, Zena rubbed her hands over the swollen abdomen, trying to entice some more movement. "Yeah," Gabrielle nodded, her hands playing thoughtfully over Zena's wrists. "I don't know why, it's just how it feels to me. I don't mind either way. Do you?"
"Nope."
She sighed contentedly. "I can't wait to hold him." Zena had to agree that it would be an entrancing image. Their faces were close together, and the waves lapped around them, pushing them closer. Feeling her nose against Gabrielle's cheek, Zena closed her eyes, falling into a fantasy. They hadn't made love since before the whole awful prison affair began, and Zena was a sexual creature. She missed not being able to express her feelings for Gabrielle in that unique, intense way. She respected her partner's wishes, understood how traumatized she must feel, but for just one small kiss. Gabrielle lifted her chin, her face nuzzled against Zena's, and found her lips dark and full. Her arms came up and caressed the taller woman's face, and her fair lashes fell closed. Numb for a moment, Zena finally lifted her arms around Gabrielle's increasing waist. She parted her lips, wanting to feel Gabrielle inside of her, wanting to taste that connection of spirit that almost always came when they joined themselves like this. It was brief but powerful, and when she drew back for breath, Gabrielle felt slightly dizzy. Disoriented by looking down at the shifting waves, she rested her head at the base of Zena's neck, against her pulse, where her familiar scent was most obvious. Her lips still tingling, she circled her hands over Zena's shoulders, stroking skin that was quickly drying in the sun. She had always liked Zena's shoulders, especially from the back. They were strong and muscular when she was fighting or fishing or chopping wood, but still managed to be soft and feminine in shape when Zena's arms were by her sides. Zena bowed her head, wanting to envelop Gabrielle in her love and her protection. "I love you," she whispered into the girl's ear. She hadn't said it often enough lately. She was good at expressing her devotion through heroism and selflessness. It showed in the passion of sex. But it was Gabrielle who wrote the heartfelt poems and stories, who found analogies for their relationship in nature. It was Gabrielle who talked. Nodding, Gabrielle kissed her neck. "I love you too, Zena." At length, she drew back and stretched. "Back aching?" Zena guessed. "Yeah, it is a little." Gabrielle grimaced and rubbed at her loins. Zena sympathized. "Let me rub it for you." It always felt like a small contribution, but it seemed to help. Gabrielle nodded decisively. "That'd be good, Zena, thanks." She turned for the beach, reaching back for Zena's hand. "These are pretty." As they moved through the clear water, its level receding down their legs, Gabrielle stooped to collect some curled shells in her hand. Zena glanced at them. Very nice. Shells were shells. Marine life was pointless if it wasn't edible. When they reached the water's edge, still clutching Zena's hand, Gabrielle bent down again and swirled the shells through the water to clean them of the sand. Straightening, she displayed them on her palm. I haven't seen many like this before. She turned them with her thumb, intricate white things with neat lines of beige and mustard. No. Zena squeezed the small hand in hers, impatient. It wasn't so warm out of the water and still dripping wet. If I threaded them onto some twine, I could make a necklace, Gabrielle thought out loud. Or a bracelet. She smiled cheekily. What do you think? She pulled Zena's hand close to her and held a shell against her bronzed wrist. Zena just looked at her despairingly for a moment, making her laugh, and they carried on up the beach to their furs. They dried off, and Zena shouldered into her shift. Do we still have any of that nut oil? Gabrielle called. She rubbed her hair dry, then sat down to brush sand from between her toes. Uh-huh. Zena took the bottle from a bag and came over, sitting behind Gabrielle. Just here? She touched her friend's lower back, where the ache usually was. Hmm. Gabrielle made a dissatisfied sound. All over. My shoulders, too. Zena poured oil into her palm and began to massage the freckly skin. Everything aches, and I thought being pregnant was supposed to make you feel good. Gabrielle chuckled, pulling her damp hair over her shoulder out of the way and curling the ends around her fingers. Well, I guess nothing is entirely good or entirely bad. Zena kneaded the heel of her hand into Gabrielle's spine. That's very philosophical of you, Zena, the girl teased. I do have many skills. Gabrielle laughed at this familiar line, then winced, the muscles in her back tightening under Zena's hands. What? Nothing, Gabrielle tutted. I'm just really sore all over. She looked down at her breasts, supporting them protectively in her hands. Usually firm but small, they were now far larger and slightly lumpy, softer and hotter. Yeah, I know. Zena moved up close behind her for a cuddle, wrapping her arms around her naked body. She gently replaced Gabrielle's hands with her own, massaging the warm oil into tight skin. You look beautiful like this. Gabrielle turned her head to see Zena's face. The warrior wasn't one for compliments at the best of times, and she hadn't made any reference to Gabrielle's looks since she had started to show. Really? You think that? She reached up to touch Zena's cheek, studying soft blue eyes. I'm so proud of you. Zena kissed the fingers, then pressed her cheek against Gabrielle's, just being with her. It was nice to have time just to be together. Gabrielle turned in her arms. Take this off. She tugged at the shift, then pressed herself against Zena's naked body. Ignoring the arms that were struggling out of the material, she took Zena's face in her hands to get her attention and kissed her. Zena's arms automatically moved around the girl, their bodies slippery from the oil. Nothing else mattered but the kiss. Zena fell into it, opening herself to the woman she had missed so much and was barely aware of their movements. Gabrielle's hands moved over her, exploring, stroking teasingly down between her legs, then coming innocently up to her face. You want? You want to? In answer, Gabrielle climbed into her lap, clutching at her and kissing her hungrily. Her fingers kneaded softly into Zena's hair, her eyes closed, and her breathing hastened. Gabrielle! Zena broke the kiss gently, nuzzling her nose against Gabrielle's to maintain contact. Are you sure? Are you sure? After what happened? This was too serious a thing to hurry. Holding the girl securely in her arms, Zena regarded her, her head to one side. Gabrielle was out of breath and had to swallow before she could speak, tucking her chin down to her bare chest, which always bore a reddened, freckled rash now. I'm sure. It was months ago, Zena, and I want you. I know it took me some time, but I need to be with you. I love you. She stroked her partner's fringe, wiping a damp strand from her forehead. Her legs were bent under her, her toes curling into the blanket, and her weight was on Zena. Zena felt air rush out of her. She had tried to be patient, had completely understood that Gabrielle would need time, but she wanted this so badly, both physically and spiritually. I want you to be sure. There's no hurry. She looked right into Gabrielle's eyes, wanting the truth. The green was flecked with a little blue and some brown, and Xena thought they were the most beautiful, captivating eyes she had ever looked into. "I know, Xena. Thank you." Gabrielle rocked forward and kissed Xena, caressing her face. Naked and pregnant, with unbrushed hair about her shoulders and a soft layer of perspiration around the base of her neck, she was more beautiful than anything Xena could imagine finding on Mount Olympus, and the warrior succumbed to the kiss and the buzz of Gabrielle's presence. "It's all right. Let's." "Okay." Xena gave in breathlessly. "Okay, but gently, all right? Gently the first time?" Gabrielle nodded. "Cuddle me?" She waited for the arms to go around her shoulders. "Don't worry, I'm here." Smiling contentedly, quite happy that the pace was slow. Gabrielle rested her head on Xena's shoulder and gazed out into the forest. She felt Xena's hand rubbing soothingly up and down her back, tracing the curves of her body that now had an emphasized feminine shape. Xena was always hot. Dressed or undressed, she always felt warm to the touch, a sort of dry heat that matched the bronze tone of her skin. She had a mole just above her shoulder blade, and Gabrielle reached over to play a finger around it. Xena kissed her neck. "Took me so long to find the courage to do this when we met." Gabrielle laughed softly, listening to the conversation. "I wanted to, right from the start, you know." "I know you did." The girl yawned contentedly, scratching her nose. "Do you remember where?" "By that lake, after that huge rainstorm." Kissing soft skin between her words, Xena gently guided Gabrielle's legs farther apart. She tried to see her partner's expression and grinned up at her. "Uh-huh. Outside Athens, right?" "That's it. I remember." "And you were so young," Xena reminisced fondly. "Your hair was as red as a cedar." She slid her hand down Gabrielle's bump, stroked her thighs to give her warning, then began a soft little rubbing motion with the backs of her fingers. Gabrielle's flesh there was like silk, hot and slippery, and her body held an aroma that always affected Xena suddenly and profoundly. At this touch, Gabrielle stiffened slightly with a soft groan and took more of her weight on her knees. Her eyes squeezed shut, blocking out the world around her, and her hand squeezed a fistful of dark hair into her palm. "Relax," Xena reminded her. "Sit down." With conscious effort, Gabrielle lowered her weight back onto Xena's lap. "You all right?" Gabrielle nodded vigorously. "How is it?" "Beautiful." Gabrielle managed to open her eyes again and take a deep, steadying breath. "Good." "It's lovely." She nestled her face into Xena's neck. "I've wanted you." She massaged her hands back into the curly hair, smelling the river water and kissing the silky texture wherever the fancy took her. "Yeah," Xena had to admit. "Me too." Gabrielle was usually so eloquent, and Xena would listen with pride and awe to her tell her stories or argue her point. But at times like this, the mumbled, impulsive comments were equally as powerful. She closed her eyes, her face bathed in the heat at the base of Gabrielle's neck, and kept up her rhythmic rubbing, using just her knuckles. "Is your back okay?"
"Yeah."
"Did the oil help?"
"Yeah."
Gabrielle could still smell it on herself.
"Go faster."
"Shh. Just take it easy." Xena reaffirmed her grip, wanting to cuddle Gabrielle. That was how all this had started, after all. Despite her daydreams and fantasies, their relationship hadn't kicked off with a boiling over of hormones and passion. Right from the start, it had just been about cuddling each other and being close. First of all, it was when one of them was upset or hurting. They quickly stopped needing an excuse, but for a long time they expressed their love through holding hands and sleeping side by side, sharing an apple, pressing close while riding Argo. Xena couldn't imagine making love to Gabrielle without holding her and being emotionally with her.
"It feels good,"
Gabrielle reported breathlessly, her body starting to move in rhythm with Xena's hand.
"Oh, I like it, Xena."
"Good girl.
Do you like it when I do it?"
Xena grinned again. "Uh-huh." She kissed Gabrielle's cheek. Her hand felt wet, and the movement was smooth and gliding. Gabrielle moaned, her muscles drawing up tight in readiness.
But Zena calmed her. Don't tense up, She slowed her pace a bit. It's coming, Zena. Put your fingers. Just take it easy the first time. Just let it come, Zena instructed. Gabrielle nodded. Shifting position, she let her knees move farther apart and moved to take Zena's face between her hands. She looked down into smiling blue eyes, fixing her gaze there. Zena swallowed and blinked, inhaling deeply, then readied herself not to miss an instant. Gabrielle had blonde hair falling over her face, but it didn't matter. Neither could spare the concentration to push it back. Zena watched intently as Gabrielle's eyebrows drew close together and her lips parted. A fine rash sprinkled over her cheeks and neck, and she held her breath. Their foreheads were almost touching, and their eyes were locked, and Gabrielle had a gentle orgasm, quietly and softly, without looking away. When the hardest waves had passed, she smiled and let her head rest against Zena's, her eyes closing. Gabrielle. Her name was the most beautiful thing Zena could think of to say. Wish you could feel this. With the last wave still washing through her, Gabrielle's voice was husky. She kept her hands still and focused on the conscious and unconscious movements of her body, the rocking of her hips and the convulsing of her muscles, and how they were in tune with Zena's fingers. I've got a good idea. Confident she could stop, Zena pulled up her hand and shifted Gabrielle's weight in her lap, holding her securely while her body had no tone. It's okay. She finally managed to stroke back yellow hair, and Gabrielle's head turned to her for a deep kiss. Thank you. Zena just shook her head. Are you all right? Gabrielle laughed, but it came out almost as a sob. I'm great. She nodded to convince Zena, and they hugged and kissed again. Gabrielle nestled herself close, rubbing her head against Zena's like a cat marking its scent. Oh, Zena, don't stop there. Don't let go. She moved back just enough for Zena's hand to move back down between them, then pressed back against her, her hands coming up to grind desperately on Zena's breasts. As soon as Zena's fingers grazed her, she jerked, and unconscious little mewing sounds rose from her. Loving this and letting go, Zena kissed her throat and encouraged her to continue, all the time working her fingertips gently inside. Her dark hair had dried into unruly curls that hung down her back, and Gabrielle had handfuls to her nose to inhale the fresh scent. Come on, Zena encouraged softly. Her voice was rich and dark, her eyes half closed, her lips ruddy with the rush of blood, and Gabrielle gazed at her, turned serious again. Come on, Gabrielle. Let go. Her voice dropped an octave, gone dry, and she gave the smile that was only for Gabrielle's eyes. For me. It really had been forever. Gabrielle dropped her head onto Zena's shoulder, suddenly gone weak. Her muscles relaxed momentarily, welcoming her partner deep inside, before convulsing and drawing upwards all over again. She pushed her legs forward, feeling Zena's free hand curling under her thigh to move her where Zena needed her to be. At that pressure, Zena joined the molten fire that throbbed between them, moving in synchronization to the waves that swept over them. Gabrielle's mind returned first, her muscles still twitching, hot and tight, and she pulled up her head to watch the tail end of Zena's delight. The darker woman's head was back, her mouth open, her eyebrows drawn into a frown. Compelled to hold her, Gabrielle pulled up shaky arms and took Zena's head in her hands, somehow finding her lips with her own. Exhausted, they managed to lie down on the fur, panting and sweaty. No longer could Zena pull Gabrielle on top of her or lie safely over her, so instead she curled herself along the smaller woman's back, encircling her in her arms. Thank you. She was surprised by the dryness of her voice, by the blood tingling down to her toes. Gabrielle just nestled closer, rubbing the arms she found locked around her middle. Me? What for? For being with me. Gabrielle chuckled tiredly. Well, ditto then. At length she sighed indulgently, loving the way her body felt. You asleep? Zena grunted. Don't think so. That was good.
Gabrielle squeezed Zena's hand in hers, kissed it, then drew it down between her legs. Don't stop then. From then on, Gabrielle's libido knew no bounds. Zena always laughed when she took the girl into her arms, but she reminded herself to be more careful what she wished for. She was thankful that they were traveling through quiet, uninhabited lands and went heavy on proteins and starches to keep her energy up. For a blissful but exhausting couple of weeks, Gabrielle always wanted to be touched, to hold hands or to have her arm brushing Zena's as they walked, to be in physical contact with living things, even if it was only Argo. The horse accepted these new demands placed on her with surprising efficiency, nuzzling her damp nose into Gabrielle's hand when company was required, and not making a fuss when Gabrielle shooed her away and turned her attention only to Zena. During this time, the bard spoke at length about home and family, and Zena wondered if she would be content to travel endlessly once she had a child to consider. She had given up Solon to protect him from a life on the road, where you never knew what tomorrow would bring and always had to watch your back. She couldn't ask Gabrielle to repeat her mistake. Everything would have to change. Gabrielle talked excitedly about introducing the child to its grandparents, to Potadilla, to having a willing babysitter in Lilla. Zena had to admit that she was looking forward to seeing her own mother with the child, as if this new life would go some way toward making up for the mistakes she had made, would be a fresh start. Ignoring all the difficulties of the situation, Zena thought that bringing up a child together would seal the commitment they had to each other, would make them solidly and indisputably a family. The pace of life was easy. When Gabrielle felt fit, they made steady progress toward Potadilla. When she had days of feeling tired and lazy, like now, they wouldn't move far from their camp, taking time to enjoy the spring. Zena would sit and sharpen her sword, although the only labor that blunted it was woodcutting or the occasional boar hunt. And Gabrielle would write, or mend their clothes, or make little playthings out of scrap wood. Zena rolled her eyes to find herself taking an afternoon nap. Next thing she knew, she thought, she'd be putting on weight and making daisy chains. She wasn't really sleeping, anyway, she told herself, just resting, because it kept Gabrielle happy. Just gazing up at the soft undulation of the tree leaves high above them, letting the chirping song of forest birds into her ears. Just letting her eyes rest. Zena! Huh? Zena sat up sharply, shrugging off sleep and looking in the direction of the hand tugging at her leathers. What is it? Zena, I think it's coming. Gabrielle was kneeling on the fur with her hands pressed to her thighs for support. She gazed intently at the ground ahead of her, but her eyes weren't quite focused, as if her concentration had turned inwards. Zena got herself up, throwing aside the blanket. Probably just a practice run. Your body does these things, she assured confidently. She lay her hand on Gabrielle's shoulder and was surprised to find it hot and sticky. Gabrielle just shook her head, adamant. It's hurting. She rubbed a hand over her abdomen, frowning. I've never felt like this. I feel cold and I'm shaking and I feel... She scowled, obviously unable to find the right word. Heavy. Dragging. Concerned, Zena put her arms around Gabrielle's shoulders. Gabrielle, it's only been 6 or 7 months. It's too soon. If you have this baby now, it won't... She trailed off, unable to say it. Gabrielle gave her head another dismissive shake. We must have counted wrong. We both lost track of time in there. You said yourself. Zena tugged a corner of her lip between her teeth, actually seeing Gabrielle's abdominal muscles tightening in a contractive wave. Sweetheart, I don't think you're big enough to be full term. You... Gabrielle grunted and bent forward, planting her hands on the fur. Gods! Zena, this hurts! Zena nodded, resting her arms around Gabrielle's torso. So, this was how the situation was going to end. Something heavy fell in her chest, and her throat thickened, making it hard to swallow. I'm sorry, she mumbled, hiding her face in yellow hair. Gabrielle had been so excited. We counted wrong, Gabrielle repeated through clenched teeth, her fist squeezing in the fur. Look, it's summer already. Damn! Shocked by the intensity of the wave of pain, she straightened and rubbed her belly. What are we going to do? I wanted to be in Potadilla. She searched Xena's face for an answer, for the obvious solution that she had missed. Xena always knew what to do. "It's still days away," Xena told her, helpless. "But I want..." Another contraction came, more forceful than painful, and Gabrielle rested her head on Xena's shoulder, winded. Sympathetic, Xena stroked her back. "You don't have a choice. That baby's coming." She felt Gabrielle nodding against her, recovering. Maybe her friend was right. Maybe they had miscalculated. Nature could do strange things. Gabrielle had always been petite, and her muscles were toned. Perhaps she did show less than other women would do at 9 months. In any case, it wouldn't help to be negative. "We have everything we need here," Xena decided. "Warm water and blankets. Food and privacy. Your body has everything else you both need. Women have been doing this for centuries, Gabrielle. You're just going to have to get on with it." Gabrielle nodded vigorously, spurred on by Xena's confidence. "All right. You'll stay with me?" She reached out a sweaty hand, and Xena clasped it tightly. "I won't leave your side," Xena promised her warmly, swept up in the moment and a little excited. "Let's do it, then." Xena kissed her hand. "You're a brave girl." Gabrielle laughed and nodded. The first contractions weren't too bad. Her cheeks flushed red and her hands went white, but all she seemed to want to do was close her eyes and concentrate. She grunted occasionally, lines forming on her forehead, but she didn't appear to be in bad pain, and the contractions passed very quickly. Pleased to have something to do, Xena prepared their things, lighting a fire and spreading an old linen over the fur. She hadn't delivered a baby before, not ever having taken an interest in such things. But as a mother who had gone through the process, she seemed to know instinctively how things would go. For a long time, Gabrielle was just restless, but then the contractions sped up rapidly, lasting longer and bringing more pain. "Ah!" The girl doubled over, cradling her stomach. "Xena!" "Right here." The warrior rubbed her back. Growling, Gabrielle pushed onto all fours, her hair falling into her face. Her back arched and she curled her toes, waiting for it to pass. "Was it this bad for you with Solon?" She just wanted to hear Xena's voice, to have something other than the pain to focus on. Xena gazed out across the clearing, the scene reforming in her mind. "I really don't remember." She could picture the inside of that tent, could recollect the sounds of the centaur battle outside, but the herbs her treacherous servant, Citrina, had given her clouded everything else. She had held Solon in her arms, but not really felt him. Maybe things would have been different if she had. "How long do you think it'll be?" Gabrielle panted, reclaiming Xena's attention. "I can't tell. You can't rush it. It'll happen." Xena took a strip of soft leather and tied it around Gabrielle's hair, holding it back out of her face. "Well, should I be pushing?" "Not if your body isn't ready. You'll tear." Xena stroked her partner's face, wanting to help. "How will I know?" Xena laughed. "You'll know, although it would be a good idea to establish how things were. Maybe the labor had progressed so quickly because the baby was in the wrong position." Xena felt panic flush through her. If that happened, she wouldn't be able to save either of them. "Will you let me take a look at you?" She rubbed her hands down Gabrielle's arms. The girl shrugged, knowing even less about midwifery than she did about motherhood. "Uh-huh." "Put your arms around me." Xena held her partner kneeling up in front of her. "This is going to hurt a bit. Relax, Gabrielle." Gabrielle waited, trying to control her breathing, then winced and clenched her fists. It was mighty sore. She usually liked having Xena's fingers inside her so much, but this was different, and it just hurt. "How can anyone survive this?" Xena patted her back and gently withdrew. "I think you're ready. I can feel the baby's head." She wiped blood from her hand. "You can?" "Mm-hmm," Xena smiled encouragingly. Gabrielle acknowledged her, then groaned deeply and sunk down to the ground. "It's coming again." It was starting to become a feeling to dread. She moved her knees apart, trying to ease the building pressure. "You want to have a push?" Gabrielle shook her head no. She certainly did not want to push. If it hurt now, how much worse would pushing make it? She dropped her forehead into her fists as the wave went down through her. It clamped up her abdomen, and when it reached her hips, it was as if fire was ripping her apart. She wanted to scream, but the pain and shock took her voice, and all that came out was a deep sob. Xena saw a shiver run through her partner. Helplessness was a feeling she hated. "It's all right, Gabrielle." Gabrielle tugged in a breath. "Xena, I can't." That contraction was followed almost immediately by another, and this time she did cry out, her face bright red. "Take it easy." Xena knew there was nothing she could do, but seeing Gabrielle in pain was heart-wrenching, and she would have swapped places if she could. Panicked, Gabrielle gasped for air, her hands grasping Xena's leathers. "The baby's coming." "Of course it is," Xena enthused, stroking her face. "Xena, please, I don't think I can do this." Tears streaked over Gabrielle's cheeks, and her breath was ragged. "Sure you can," Xena told her, feeling the small hands wringing at the leather strips of her skirt. "You're doing great." "No." Xena never could stand to see her friend cry. "Come here." She cuddled her warmly, letting her sob. "You're going to be just fine. You can do it, Gabrielle. I know you can. Don't cry now." She kissed at the flushed face. "Here, have some water." She took a skin and held it to Gabrielle's lips, cupping her chin to catch any drips. "Good girl." Gabrielle nodded her thanks, sniffing. Blood and mucus ran down the insides of her legs. It was almost time. "Can't you knock me out or something? It wouldn't take much, just one good hard knock." She took Xena's hand, formed it into a fist, and pressed it to her head. The warrior chuckled at her fondly. "I don't think so." She let Gabrielle flatten out her fingers again and hold them to her face. "You could just pass me your sword, and I could do it myself with the hilt," Gabrielle bargained. "Nope." Gabrielle's eyes glazed then, and she lost interest in everything outside of her own body. Ignoring Xena, she hunkered down, stretching out her arms. "Damn this!" Xena watched the rage build up in her partner, knowing it was a good thing. She was clearly in pain, but she was trying to push too, her hands squeezing rhythmically in the fur. When it had passed, the girl looked down at herself, out of breath. "It hurts so much!" "It won't last forever," was all Xena could truthfully say. She offered the skin again, pouring water carefully into Gabrielle's mouth. "It's a test, isn't it?" Gabrielle licked her lips. "It's testing how committed I am to do this. I'd do anything for her, Xena. I can do this." "Of course you can." Proud, Xena dabbed a cool cloth to her forehead. "That's too cold." Gabrielle pushed her hand away. Being rebuffed gave Xena time to sit and think. For a first child, the labor seemed abnormally quick. Trying to be unobtrusive, she wiped at the clotted blood on Gabrielle's legs. "Gabrielle, this baby, it..." "Shut up about that now, Xena. I need to push." Gabrielle let herself bear down, pushing hard despite the pain. The hurting came second to the desperate desire to push now, and she used every scrap of energy that she had. The scream that came at the end of it was more of a release of tension than of pain or fear. "Xena, it's coming!" It was a statement of certainty, and she reached out for a cuddle. "I know." Xena supported her for a moment, rocking her against her breast, soothing her. "Let's see. Tell me if it comes again, okay?" Gabrielle nodded dumbly, her chin on Xena's shoulder. The warrior pulled up her partner's shift, rolling and tucking it at her waist so it was out of the way. She rubbed the tops of her legs, which felt clammy and trembly, wanting to stimulate the blood supply. "Hold on." Gabrielle had most of her weight on her, almost dozing between contractions, and Xena had to make sure she could support herself. She looked down and touched at the engorged flesh, seeing how it was shrugging back in readiness. She had to wipe away stringy clotted blood with her hand to feel the baby's head, and she knew then, with awful certainty, what the outcome of all this would be. Perhaps Gabrielle knew it too, secretly. She felt sick to her stomach. "It's only going to take another couple of pushes," Xena told her. There was no going back. They had to see this through now. "Do you want to lie down to have your baby? Lie down and relax so I can reach?" "Yeah." Willing to do whatever Xena recommended, placing absolute trust in her, Gabrielle got down on the fur and lay back, planting her feet on either side of Xena's knees. "It's coming again." She was resigned to the pain of this now and clutched her thighs, ready. "It's all right," Xena soothed, gathering up clean cloths and a scrap of blanket that she had warmed by the fire. "You're going to be okay. Take it easy, Gabrielle. Just go with it." "Oh, gods, it's like... Gabrielle writhed, pulling on the fur above her head, and pushed. Every muscle in her body twisted with the effort, and as Xena reached down, she was able to take a solid mass supportively into her hands. "One more, Gabrielle. One more, sweetheart." "Oh!" Gabrielle cried out, startling the birds from the trees, and the baby was born into Xena's hands. Xena looked down at it, still and quiet in her palms. It breathed, but it didn't cry. Its head and tiny hands were well formed, although the skin was paper thin, red, and veiny. Dismayed, Xena could see, though, that its miniature internal organs weren't contained within its body, that skin and bone hadn't fused properly. "Oh, Gabrielle." All her energy went, too, and she felt her heart crush, knowing she was watching Gabrielle's dreams die. "I'm so sorry." Gabrielle tried to push herself up, utterly exhausted. "I need to hold him." Understanding this, Xena quickly wrapped the fragile body in the blanket and handed the bundle to Gabrielle when she knelt. He's beautiful, Gabrielle." Ignoring the tears that spilled onto her cheeks, she set the baby in Gabrielle's arms, making sure the blanket didn't obscure his face. Gabrielle gazed down at him and started to cry too, despite the laughter that broke out of her. "He's perfect."
"Uh-huh."
"He's got blue eyes, just like you." They exchanged glances, kneeling opposite each other, sharing joy and agony. Gabrielle rocked her baby softly, wanting to memorize every aspect of his face. She scowled when she felt the weight of the afterbirth within her, but Xena just whispered to her to push again, and she gazed back at her son and felt no more of it. She rested her forehead against Xena's. "I told you it'd be a boy." She smiled, cold tears dripping onto her arms.
"You did,"
Xena agreed, her eyes stinging.
"You knew, Gabrielle."
"My son. He's amazing." She eased the blanket away from his face. "You're perfect. Did you know that? Mommy loves you." She bowed her head to kiss him, and Xena's stomach twisted tighter, full of sorrow and hatred at the evil of the world. Gabrielle looked back up to her partner, admirably sympathetic. "How long, do you think?" Xena just couldn't look her in the eye.
"Not long."
Gabrielle nodded, accepting this.
"I wish..."
She inhaled determinedly.
"I'd like to feed him."
Xena steeled herself too, finding strength in action.
"You can, if it's what you want."
"Teach me how, Xena." The warrior sniffed.
"Take your shirt off."
She gingerly held the child while Gabrielle shrugged off her shift, then laid the baby against its mother's bare flesh. "Here now, stroke his cheek." The baby yawned widely, the veins in his neck showing under his fragile skin. "Move him close to you." Xena guided Gabrielle's hands, then watched in satisfaction. It wasn't so hard to remember being with Solon. It felt like only a few seasons ago. How old must he be now? Xena realized with embarrassment that she didn't know exactly. At the time, feeding him had just seemed like another necessary task, a function to be given no more thought than the need to drink or bathe or scratch. Watching Gabrielle, soft and loving and perfectly in tune with all of nature, she realized what she'd missed. She had never gazed down into his face, admired the color of his eyes, rocked him and talked to him, as Gabrielle was doing. All she had been able to think of was losing Boreas and her army, and how she could stop this from being yet another life she destroyed. She had always loved him, she knew that. She had always wanted to protect him. She would never have wished for Gabrielle to experience the sickening pain she had felt when she handed her child to Calliopus. A part of her heart had fallen away and died that day. How much would this cost Gabrielle?
"I'm calling him Jason," Gabrielle announced, her head on one side. "It's a good Greek name, don't you think?
It's a strong name. Noble." The baby had finished, far too weak to feed properly. But at least Gabrielle had felt the sensation, had been able to do this one small thing for him.
"I think it's perfect."
Xena smiled through her tears. "It's a lovely name."
"He wants to sleep."
Gabrielle laughed at the sweet, peaceful face, crying too because she knew It was a sleep he would never wake from. We should let him sleep for a bit. With painful care, she lay the baby down on the fur, then eased herself out beside him, resting on her elbow. Mommy's here. She stroked his face with her finger. Resigned, Zena lay down behind her, kissing her hair and encircling her with an arm. I'm here, Gabrielle, she assured quietly. Gabrielle nodded. He even has hair. Look at his hair. There was only a tiny, thin amount of it, but it was golden and fine. He has your hair. Yeah, the smaller woman agreed with this. She rested her weight back against Zena, gazing at the boy, instinctively offering her finger for him to suck on. Zena wasn't sure how long they were there. Very soon, the tiny body stopped moving. The eyes remained closed, and the skin grew paler. Gabrielle didn't visibly react, and lay watching him for a while, her hands still rhythmically caressing his tiny face. Zena stayed with them, hurting for Gabrielle, and for her own memories. Finally, the girl inhaled deeply. Zena, will you take him? Build a pyre? I want to rest by myself, just for a while. She spoke politely, but her voice had no color, no interest. She patted Zena's hand, then laid herself down, her head on her arm. Zena wanted to stay, wanted to be able to comfort her partner, but forced herself to do as she was asked. Perhaps it was best for Gabrielle to have some time on her own. Sure. She pulled a blanket over Gabrielle, who was still naked and marked with sweat and blood from her exertions, then took up the child. It was a relief to have something to do. Physical labor eased the cramps in Zena's muscles that squatting and lying for so long had caused, and it was a welcome distraction. She efficiently built a small wooden frame, tying the branches with rough twine, and placed the linen-wrapped bundle on top. This was all tradition and ceremony, really. It didn't change anything. But sometimes that was all one had. She placed the pyre at the edge of the lake, found a big timber to use as a torch, then returned to Gabrielle. The girl sat up when she approached, looking disheveled and somewhat dazed. "Why don't you wash yourself? You'll feel better," Zena advised gently. She fetched a dish of water, a cloth, and some clean clothes. "Thanks." Gabrielle got on with her task, quiet and subdued. She took her brush and went to use it, but cringed and dropped her arm back to cradle her stomach. Seeing Zena watching her, she handed over the brush. It was carved from pale wood, sanded and varnished. Functional, but pretty. It was one of the few things she had brought with her from home. Zena. Keen to help, Zena brushed her hair for her as she sat waiting, gazing out toward the lake. The warrior took care to be gentle and stroked her free hand soothingly over Gabrielle's head. She wished she knew what to say. Neither spoke because there was nothing to say. Zena handed the brush back, letting her hand linger at her friend's shoulder. Gabrielle pushed herself up, leaning on Zena's hand at her elbow, and smoothed down her clothes. She nodded, and they went over to the edge of the lake. Moved, and feeling it fitting, Zena sang a song of mourning that she had learned in her village, a soft, sad melody that recognized their pain and accepted it as a natural part of life. Gabrielle listened quietly. Zena set the pyre alight and pushed it out into the water, letting the momentum take it away from the shore. She returned to Gabrielle, placing a hand on her shoulder and handed her the torch. It was a traditional gesture. When the flame burned out, the spirit's journey in Charon's boat would be completed, and it would be free to take its place in the underworld. In silence, they watched the flames engulf the pyre and the tiny bundle atop it and send it crumbling into the water. Very soon, the surface of the lake stilled again, and it was as if it had never been disturbed. Gabrielle extended her arm and dropped the extinguished torch into the water, then turned and walked wordlessly away. After several days, after Gabrielle had rested, they set off again, heading aimlessly toward Potidaea just because that had been the original plan. Zena tried to be sympathetic, to be comforting, but was aware that she couldn't completely understand Gabrielle's quiet misery. Their characters were different, opposing even at times, and even in the same circumstances, she knew they wouldn't behave or react in quite the same way. Time passed. Physically, Gabrielle's recovery was speedy. She was young, and the baby had been small. Within a week, a passerby would not have known that she had ever been pregnant. Finding her sitting on a boulder, gazing out at the horizon, Xena paused a short distance away.
None of this is your fault, you know.
If only there was a magic phrase that could be said to take all this bad feeling away. She spread her hands.
You didn't get to eat properly, and you were lifting all those rocks, and you were afraid. It wasn't your fault.
Gabrielle nodded.
I know.
It will hurt less, eventually. She went to stand by her friend, looking down at her, seeing how the weak sun caught the highlights in her hair and made them shine.
It will, Gabrielle. It won't be like this forever.
Gabrielle watched a flock of birds scattering across the sky. Perhaps they were returning home for the warm weather.
That almost scares me. I don't want to forget him, to forget his face.
She could see his tiny, perfect features etched in front of her eyes, coloring every scene she saw.
You won't, Xena promised, squeezing her shoulder.
But you're young. You can still have other children.
Children of your own.
Gabrielle stood, shrugging her off, and went to stand by herself. Xena, that's a heartless thing to say, she accused in a tired sigh. Xena sat heavily on the boulder, knowing that it had been insensitive. It came down to it that they had both always viewed the baby differently, because of its conception, and while Xena would have loved it and cared for it, she would never have felt for it like its mother did. Both women knew this to be true, and it was pointless arguing or even talking about something that couldn't be changed. After a long time, Gabrielle spoke again.
You think about Solon every day. I see you.
The warrior nodded, gazing at the dry lines on her palms.
Every day.
Just because they aren't here, just because we can't be with them, and they'll never know we exist, they're still our children. Gabrielle stared sightlessly into the watery orange sky.
And Jason is my child.
Xena nodded, agreeing. They were silent for a moment. In the old days, in the dark days before Gabrielle's light, if Xena was upset, she would go somewhere quiet and be alone with her thoughts, let them wash over her for as long as it took for them to subside. Gabrielle had taught her a new way, though, always coming to be beside her, smoothing her hair or stroking away her tears. Xena hadn't understood it at first, hadn't known how to let herself be comforted, hadn't been brave enough to share some of her burden with another. Using her new skill, Xena went over to Gabrielle, still silent, and stood behind her, wrapping her arms around her. Gabrielle leaned back against her, and it was enough just to be together. They watched the sun setting. Gabrielle always liked sunsets. She liked sunrises, too, when she could be dragged out of her bedroll early enough to catch one. Xena felt her shiver and rubbed her arms. The girl nestled against her, then turned for a kiss. She softened quickly and allowed Xena to lead her by the hand over to their furs. A few paces away from them, she stopped. Xena turned back to her questioningly, stroking the cool fingers in her palm. She couldn't identify the emotions that played across Gabrielle's face as she gazed down at the blankets. It was a mixture of apprehension and puzzlement, and Xena wondered if there were fear there, too. Perhaps anger played its part, but Xena preferred not to acknowledge that. She returned to Gabrielle, reclaiming her attention, and kissed her again.
We don't have to do anything.
I want to. Gabrielle traced her fingertips along the lines of the fabric covering Xena's abdomen.
Come to bed, then.
Xena stroked back blonde hair.
I want to help. Come to bed?
Gabrielle smiled, just softly, and Xena took that as permission. She reached down and lifted Gabrielle up into her arms to carry her. She wasn't heavy, and it was somehow comforting to have someone so precious in her arms, to keep her close and protect her. Feeling an arm go around her shoulders, Xena touched her lips to Gabrielle's, loving her as she carried her to the fur and set her down. She was conscious of the irony that when they first met, when Gabrielle was younger, their positions would usually be opposite. Gabrielle would always be leading, encouraging physically and vocally, good-naturedly trying to distract Xena from her task and earn herself a cuddle or a kiss or some show of affection. Not now, Gabrielle, Xena would protest, disapproving, until the soft arms and gentle words would win her over and she would abandon her work in favor of time spent close to another human being. Now it was Xena who had to do the coaxing, equally sympathetic and equally persuasive. She pulled off Gabrielle's clothes and then her own and lay down over her. She whispered encouragement against her ear, stroking down her hair. Seeing that Gabrielle was listening, she slid a leg between her partner's, careful to take her own weight, and kissed her neck. Gabrielle lay with her, holding her, but distantly, her thoughts apparently elsewhere. Intoxicated by the smell and warm feel of her, Zena pressed her hands into the swollen breasts, loving how they filled her palms. Gabrielle, though, tugged her hands away. "Don't." She swallowed something away, but Zena couldn't tell if it was fear or that anger again. "They're still too sore." Gabrielle wouldn't look at her, and Zena pulled back, rebuffed. Perhaps this had been a mistake. She hadn't wanted to push Gabrielle into anything. In the past, if Gabrielle had been upset, this was what she had wanted and would actively seek it out. "Listen to me. It's all right if you don't feel like... Maybe you could use your mouth, though." Gabrielle interrupted as if she had been thinking and hadn't heard Zena's words. Still not making eye contact, but inhaling deeply, she took Zena's arms and pulled her down into a cuddle again. More than willing, Zena interweaved their fingers and kissed and nuzzled softly wherever she could, slowly tracing her lips down over Gabrielle's belly, through ginger hair and between her legs. Her mouth was kinder to the bruised flesh than her hand would have been, and she concentrated on the soft swelling where the skin met, rather than trying to reach inside. She knew Gabrielle, and knew from the pace of her breathing and the little shivers that went through her when she was almost ready. She moved back up, releasing the sweaty hands. Gabrielle's eyes darted to her and told her everything. "You're afraid." "No," Gabrielle denied, her thighs squeezing around Zena's hands. "No. You are." Zena encircled Gabrielle's shoulders with an arm and leaned down close to her. "I'm here. I love you." Rape never really went away, did it? Answering Gabrielle's body, she stroked lightly with her fingertips and met the open mouth with her own. When it came, it was stiff and silent. Gabrielle's body responded wholeheartedly, but her mind was detached, and she had her eyes shut tight as if this was something to be endured. They were together, but Zena had rarely felt so alone. Very quickly, Gabrielle sat up, out of breath but emotionless, and moved to kiss Zena's neck. Appalled, Zena held her wrists, almost restraining her. "Gabrielle, you don't have to." "I want to." "But..." Zena ducked away from another kiss, trying to swaddle Gabrielle in her arms instead. "Stop this. What's wrong? I don't understand." "No, you don't," Gabrielle told her, not unkindly. "Please, Zena, please just don't argue, okay?" Her small fingers closed over Zena's mouth, and her golden locks and warm lips fell on her breast, and Zena's resistance melted away, letting Gabrielle break free of the hold. "Don't argue right now." Wanting to forget, just for a moment, everything that had happened, Zena knelt and felt Gabrielle's hands go where she most wanted them to be. She arched her back, her hands tracing the smooth curves of Gabrielle's shoulders, and let the fire rush through her, quick and hot. It was a release of tension, and it relaxed her muscles, but it didn't satisfy or soothe her as being with Gabrielle usually did. She opened her eyes to find Gabrielle at last looking at her, and she had tears streaking in glistening lines over her rounded cheeks. "Oh." Zena heaved herself up on her knees that had gone numb from her weight and embraced the girl, kissing her head and tucking it under her chin. "Hey, Gabrielle, don't cry like that. Please don't." She rocked her partner, who had softened and was truly with her now. "Zena, what they did to us..." Gabrielle cried, wiping at her face and pressing herself close to the woman she loved. It was the first time she had cried over it. Zena nodded, kissing the soft hair again, then gazing up into the forest canopy. "I know what they did to us. I just think I've forgotten it, and it comes back, and it's no better than before." Gabrielle clutched at the hand that Zena gave her. "I've only ever wanted to be yours, to belong to you, since I first met you, since I was 17. The indignity, the shame of having to let them do that. I can't seem to transcend it." She shook her head. Then the grief took her again, and she covered her face with Zena's hands. "Shh." Zena tugged out the folded blankets that they used as pillows and wrapped one around herself and one around Gabrielle. Then they held each other tightly and waited for the hurt to subside. Zena could feel the tears streaking down her own face, but it didn't matter, so long as she could comfort Gabrielle. Despite what the smaller woman had said, time had begun to heal the wounds a little, and she didn't cry for long. She sniffed, warming her face against Zena's neck. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I thought it'd help. I wanted to try to go some way toward getting over this. She stroked Zena's shoulder far more gently than she had before. Zena held her hand. Well, maybe it has helped. Gabrielle nodded, realizing that she felt better. Yeah, perhaps. Zena moved to rest her shoulder against a log, settling. Can we talk about Galeron and Jason and us?
Mm-hmm.
Zena had sensed that Gabrielle was getting ready to talk about her feelings. Having to wait until the time was right to express themselves was a trait they both shared. Zena held out her arms, her legs crossed comfortably in front of her on the fur. She waited for Gabrielle to settle herself, sitting astride her lap, then made sure the thick gray blanket was snugly around her naked body. Calmer, Gabrielle took a wavy strand of mahogany hair to play with. Did it hurt you? It hurt me to know what was happening to you. It hurt that you were in pain, and there was nothing I could do. Gabrielle smiled slightly. That's not what I asked you. Zena sighed. Yes, it did. But I knew it wouldn't last forever. You see, it didn't matter to me, not so much anyway, because it's just physical, it's fleeting, it's nothing. I know it was harder for you. She rubbed the smooth thighs under her hand sympathetically. But love, it should be pure and real and tangible. It should be something higher, something spiritual. Scowling with concentration, trying to find the right words, she put her head on one side, curling Zena's hair around her finger. Sometimes sex and love have nothing to do with each other. Gabrielle just shook her head, fundamentally unable to accept that. That isn't right. No, it's not. Zena studied her friend's eyes, wanting to know how she felt. The smaller woman placed the lock of hair experimentally over Zena's head, half of her attention taking up with her innocent playing. I'm not going to be like that, she said decisively. When we're together, it's always about love. Zena smiled. If only all the world were like you, Gabrielle. It's just been... Gabrielle gazed up at the hazy sky. Such a bad few months. It had been raining, but the sun was trying to break through now. I know. Sometimes I wonder when it'll stop. That's why I wasn't afraid of dying back in the jail. She shook her head, dissatisfied. I feel badly about it now. I mean, life is precious, right? But at least it would have been an end. Having rested her arms, she reached back up and started to braid some of the warrior's hair. Then we got away, and I thought it was all right. And then I realized I was pregnant. She paused. And then Jason. She shrugged. Is it really over, or is there more to come? Like the eye of the storm. Dreamy and distracted, Gabrielle had let her blanket slip down to her elbows, so Zena pulled it securely around her again. Uh-huh. Zena shook her head. She liked the weight in her lap, the way Gabrielle's calves fit neatly alongside her thighs, the warmth her partner provided. The storm is over, she reassured. I promise you. Gabrielle had to smile and traced her palm over Zena's cheek. And how do you know? I know, Zena told her, taking her hand. Because bad things are always followed by good. Always. That's a romantic notion, but I... No, it's true. Just like those rainbows you like so much. Rain is always followed by sun. A rainbow is the gods' promise to us that things do get better. See? She pointed up to the sky behind Gabrielle. The smaller woman turned, taken in by the story, and gazed up at the insipid but huge rainbow that swum across the heavens. Each of the 7 colors leaked into one another around the edges, but remained distinct at the center. If you want an example, Zena continued, look at me. I thought my life couldn't get any worse. I had no army, no friends, no hope. Enjoying her companion's awed expression, Zena kissed the arms that were clumsily around her head. Then there was you. Gabrielle looked back to her. All her compassion and capacity for love returned to her eyes. She leaned down, lying against Zena, and kissed her. The warrior embraced her warmly, tightly. It was the closest they'd been for some time. Gabrielle drew back, holding the finely sculpted face between her cool hands. Xena smiled, although her eyes had moistened. I love you, she mouthed silently, wanting to look away before the tears fell. Gabrielle nodded. I know, she returned, also in silence. Their arms went around each other again, and they slid down to be side by side on the fur, warm and cozy under their blankets. Everything would be all right, simply because they would be together. When the sun rose the next day, they both felt a renewed sense of energy and direction. The grief was still there, but it was manageable. They packed up their belongings and headed for the nearest town, under the pretense of needing supplies, but really wanting to be around people. Normal, happy, healthy people. They stayed around for a few days, comforted by the normality. During a stroll, they came across a hand-drawn poster on cream parchment advertising a concert of sorts at the village hall that evening. There was to be poetry and songs, bards peddling their craft. Gabrielle's eyes were bright as they traced over the curled writing. Xena sighed, softly but indulgently. Want to go? Do I? Gabrielle grinned, her excitement childlike and infectious, just like the old days. It looks amazing. The warrior rolled her eyes. Guess we're going, then. She smiled, though, and they walked on. You don't mind? I'm sure I'll survive. Xena shook her head at a persistent market seller who was waving a handful of wilted herbs at her. It sounds mushy to me, but if it makes you happy. It's not mushy, Xena. It's beautiful, Gabrielle enthused. You think there'll be other bards like me there? People who have traveled? People who write chronicles and poetry? Maybe, Xena humored her. When the evening came, Gabrielle changed into a dress, wanting to put on fine clothes, to feel womanly. She stood in their room at a dusty old inn, brushing her hair, gazing out of a window at the quiet market square when Xena came in. The taller woman paused. The dress was long, down to Gabrielle's ankles, and was of a turquoise hue to match the shade of her eyes. Its lines were simple and neat, highlighting Gabrielle's now slim shape. Look at you. Xena smiled, pride squeezing on the walls of her chest. Do you like it? Gabrielle turned, setting down her wooden brush and tossing blonde hair back over her shoulder. She wasn't vain, and had never cared much for feminine things, but just now, just once, she wanted Xena to notice. You look lovely, Xena told her honestly, holding her hands when she came over. I didn't see you buying it. You wouldn't have done. It was months ago, Gabrielle said. It was only a few dinars, from a poor woman in Thessaly. I exchanged a good boiling pan for it. I wondered where that had gone. I wanted it for solstice, Gabrielle continued. But we never really had much of a solstice, did we? She shrugged, and Xena was saddened to see that all that grief was only shallowly buried beneath the surface. She squeezed the small fingers in her own. It was in Argo's saddlebag all that time. I dug it out when we found her, but then, of course, it didn't fit so well. Another shrug. Xena knew nothing she could say would be able to mend the ripping hole in their past, so she didn't try. Well, it looks beautiful now. Gabrielle smiled. It was time to look to the future, and tonight was something she wanted to enjoy. Thanks. They headed for the hall, which was bustling with people, and took their seats at the front by the low wooden stage. The performance was everything the parchment promised it to be, and Gabrielle was enthralled. Predictably, Xena only made it to halfway in, then got fidgety and made her excuses to leave. Gabrielle was more amused than surprised, having expected as much, and let her go. But then, as soon as Gabrielle had settled on her bench again and applauded the bowing man and his poetry, Xena walked out onto the wooden boards. Frowning, Gabrielle sat up straighter, watching Xena come to stand center stage. Her partner gave her a glance, tiny, but loaded with all the love and adoration that she usually hid in public, then began to sing. It was a soft, simple little melody, made rich by Xena's deep voice, and Gabrielle listened to her in stunned silence, incredulous. When all the world is a hopeless jumble, and the raindrops tumble all around, the heavens open a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up each new day, there's a rainbow skyway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun. Take a step beyond the rain.
Somewhere over a rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in your lullaby. Sometimes I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like sugar lumps away above the tall treetops. That's where you'll find me. Somewhere over a rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that we dare to dream really do come true. Somewhere over a rainbow, night birds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Well, then, so too can I.
Gabrielle didn't fight the tears that came, but laughed, too, for the first time in an eternity. Taking her applause, Zena glanced down at her with a grin and a wink, genuine and carefree. As they walked out of the hall and across the square, Gabrielle settled her arm around her friend's waist, where it always fitted so snugly, and felt the weight of Zena's arm on her shoulders. "Did you really write that song?"
"Uh-huh."
Zena gazed at the other townspeople as they made their way home. Gabrielle chuckled. "Have you gone soft on me?" She squeezed Zena's waist, pulling them closer together and trying to tickle her, which experience had shown her to be an impossible task. "I didn't know you could write inspirational poetry like that," she paused. "And about me, too."
"I have many skills."
Gabrielle watched her sandaled feet stepping across the cobbles. "I reckon people are going to be humming that song for a long time to come, you know."
"You think?"
Zena looked down at her. Gabrielle returned the look and they smiled.
"Yeah."
Zena squeezed her friend's shoulder.
"I like that."
The end. Well, that was the conclusion of Beyond the Rain by Nut56. I really hope you enjoyed the story as much as I did. And if you did, please drop Nut an email. The email address is jonut56@blueyonder.co.uk. And I'm going to have a link to that in my show notes. So go on over there if you don't remember what it was I just said and find the link and send her an email. Let her know that you really enjoyed the story, because it's always good for the writers to hear what their readers think. You can find all my show notes at ZenaFanFictionPodcast.com. The main website for everything I do is ZenaCast.com. And you can drop me an email at ZenaCast@gmail.com. I'm really glad that you guys have joined me through this. I'm going to have a new story next week. It should be a pretty short one. I'm pretty sure I can do the next story in one podcast. And then after that, I have another special treat. I have another really excellent story that I'm going to do that I just love. It's one of my favorite. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope everybody has a really good week. And I will see y'all next time. So until then, keep your pens to the paper and your imagination in the stars.